Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Chad, give us the premise for why you believe Vols, some Vols fans, maybe most Vols fans, could, that's the key thing here, could check out on Jeremy Pruitt after year one.
I think you have to look at the history of Tennessee football over the last 10 years. Tennessee fans consistently fully investing in a coach only to be disappointed in the long run or in the short term with a coach. Lane Kiffin, Tennessee fans all in. They're on the Lane train. They're ready to go. They don't care about off-the-field problems. They don't care about NCAA problems. This guy's getting good players. He's going to win. They're all in. He bolts for USC. Derek Dooley comes in, never really takes off. But fans tried to invest in Derek Dooley. Butch Jones comes in. Fans fully take off brick by brick, ready to go, excited. Let's play some football. Team steadily gets better and better until 2016. They should win the East. They don't. And then 2017 is a complete disaster. Program hits rock bottom. First ever 8-loss season. Now fast forward to the coaching search a day after the Vanderbilt loss. The Greg Schiano Sunday, as we know it. Fans took back their program at that point. Now, fans also took back their program at that point, knowing deep down they probably weren't going to land a top name on their list after the whole debacle with Greg Schiano. So Philip Fulmer comes in. The coup is successful. Fans take over on social media. John Curry can't even make the hire. John Curry eventually is fired when they don't know his whereabouts after being turned down by Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy was John Curry's last stand. If he didn't land John, if he didn't land Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State, which he didn't, he was on his way out. So John Curry's out, Philip Fulmer's in. He hires Jeremy Pruitt. If you would have told Tennessee fans, when Butch Jones was even rumored to get fired over the course of the 2017 season, that the hire was going to be Alabama's defensive coordinator, Jeremy Pruitt, they would have hated that hire. Mm-hmm. And there's not a single Tennessee fan that can tell me otherwise.
Because you thought you could do better.
Thought you could do better. Thought you would do better. That's not a sexy name. That's not one that gets you excited.
I agree.
People expect Jeremy Pruitt to get the job at Louisiana Tech and then eventually coach in the SEC.
Yep,
or go coach
that.
At Arkansas State and then get an SEC job. Fans would not have liked
it. It was the stamp of approval from Fulmer that got it done.
Absolutely. So Fulmer takes over. That's his guy. They hire him. Fans are saying, great. There's a big time right now. This is what I sense, okay? Now, we're going to get the Tennessee hater out there who's going to say, no. Fans are all in on Jeremy Pruitt right now. While I think fans are in on Pruitt, mainly that's because of Philip Fulmer and his influence with this hire. I think they're in on the Philip Fulmer-Jeremy Pruitt marriage more so than they are in on the head coach and Jeremy Pruitt. So if we acknowledge all these things, Tennessee fans, for the first time since Philip Fulmer was fired, are taking, to me, a very sober, very measured wait-and-see approach with this coach. If Tennessee fans are waiting and seeing, if they go out this year and they do not go to a bowl game in the wait-and-see on this in year one, I think that is going to turn off a lot of Tennessee fans. I think a lot of people will emotionally check out at that point, because to me, not getting to a bowl game will equal them losing out on some of these top prospects they've got commitments from right now. Tennessee needs to show tangible progress in year one. That tangible progress needs to be a bowl game. They need to get to 6 wins. If they don't, there is going to be apathy setting in that Tennessee program and this fan base. I think it'll be really hard. Now, they could have a huge turnaround in year two, win 9 games, and suddenly fans are all in. But I think the effects of not getting to a bowl game this year in year one, that may sound crazy to some, but the effects of year one not getting to a bowl game will cause a lot of fans to be apathetic at that point.
I agree, but also disagree. I'm kind of down the middle on this because it goes back to my mantra for all sports, for coaches, for teams, and how I assess the situation. Because my motto with that is, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. If Jeremy Pruitt has moments like Derek Mason did in Mason's first year and first season as head coach, and not going to a bowl game across that path is all a part of this, then, I mean, Mason looked at times like he wasn't too sure what he got himself into in that first season.
Derek Mason opened up by losing at home to Temple by 30.
And he was also a first-time head coach.
Let's say Tennessee loses by 40 to West Virginia, a ranked West Virginia team. Then they beat UTEP on a last-second field goal, like Vandy did against UMass in year one. If things like that start to happen.
Then yes, I'm on board with what you're saying. But if Pruitt comes across, if they, in your scenario, they don't go to a bowl game. But if Pruitt comes across as a coach who has a plan and a staff that we can see develops talent, from the first week of the season to the end of November. And we've seen a progression there and things to build on despite the 4 or 5 win season. Then I think fans can see something on the horizon that they can get behind.
Yeah, you got to see progress from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. The other thing is, Chad, you're talking about emotionally checking out. I mean, what percentage of UT people really ever emotionally check out?
Well, I don't.
You're
think,
coming back.
Yeah, you're coming back. But let me say it this way: you're not checking out forever.
Yeah, temporarily check out if that's a consequence. That's a consequence. Look, they should beat ETSU, UTEP, and Charlotte. Correct?
Those are 3 wins. Oh, yeah. Those are the only 3 guarantees.
So then you got to find 3 SEC wins. You're not beating West Virginia. You got to find 3 SEC wins. That sounds right about right. Right? 5.5 should be the number. And if it's under, I don't think that's the death knell for the program in the first year of this guy. Are they really going to lose that many recruits over it? Or could he go to people and say, we won 5 games, and the difference between us winning 5 games and winning 8 or 9 games and going not just to a bowl game but to a good bowl game is you.
Well, that's his job, is to sell that to recruits if that happens.
They have to show that they're competent as a staff and that he is going to be able to manage everything that comes with being a head coach.
I would not go into this expecting a bowl game.
Now,
don't set yourself up for disappointment.
I think expectations are on the low end, a low-end bowl game. That's where most expectations are.
I think the bar is 6 wins.
You need Missouri to suck, and you need Vandy to suck, and you need...
We can sit here and say that expectations are a low-end bowl game, but if it all comes back to how they look in getting there. If Pruitt comes across as incompetent as a head coach, then I think Chad's onto something there with how this fan base views that job that Pruitt has moving forward.
Kiffin to Dooley,
they're not going to be as
Jones,
nice as Vandy fans were with Derek Mason.
Yeah, no. If you go from the last 3 coaches and you have a guy 5 games in that looks incompetent, then Knoxville burns.
But starting things off, Derek Mason started off with Temple. Pruitt starts off with West Virginia, and I think
everyone expects him to lose that game.
I think that's a perfect game for Pruitt to begin with. Well, it's a brand new coach. We know there's going to be a learning curve and bumps in the road. What better way to get after it than against an opponent that I'm not sure many have expectations of Tennessee beating?
Yeah, West Virginia right now a 9.5-point favorite in Vegas. One of the best offenses in college football. Maybe the best quarterback in Will Grier, who already victimized Tennessee when he was at Florida. It's one where expectations are low in that first game.
I think people will be eager to pick the positives out of that, right? Unless it's a complete blowout.
Yeah,
you're going to be eager to pick the positives.
If you're Jeremy Pruitt, you can leave that game realistically saying, hey, we're not going to see many more offenses better than them.
Right.
You know, they're high-powered offense. Like, defensively, whatever happens to Tennessee on defense, you can say, you've seen some of the best now. Now let's get back to work for ETSU and UTEP the next 2 weeks. I like that fall off on the schedule before you get what I think is a huge game at home against Florida. That's, to me, there are 5 games. I look at the schedule this way. There are 3 wins, and there are 4 losses on this schedule. At Georgia, at Auburn, Alabama, 3 guaranteed losses. 3 guaranteed wins, 3 guaranteed losses. Then you have 5 kind of toss-up games. Mm-hmm. They got to win 3 of those 5. Those toss-up games are Florida at home, which Florida's going to be favored, at South Carolina. South Carolina's going to be favored, but it's winnable. And then Kentucky and Missouri at home and at Vandy. You got to get 3 of those 5 if you're going to get to 6 wins. It's difficult to say they should do that. They certainly could do that, though. And that's what needs to happen for Jeremy Pruitt.
And starting with West Virginia, if they lose by 11 points, it's not the end of the world. If they lose against West Virginia, we'll come in the following weekday and break it down and be critical. But will anyone be mad? I'm not sure that's the case. There will be a learning curve and bumps in the road. I think we can guarantee that with a first-time head coach starting off in the Southeastern Conference. But if Pruitt comes across as a coach that has a plan, that it implements that plan, and a coach with a staff who develops talent, I think there's reason for big optimism. And here's why. We've seen it happen at previous spots that are not now on the top of the mountain in the SEC. Nick Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe at Alabama in his first season. We know where they are now. Kirby Smart, wasn't it Nickel State in his first season at Georgia that they're a play away from beating Georgia? Double-A yeah. Nickel State? Every one of these coaches has issues in that first season. And it's not the end of the world if Jeremy Pruitt does. But Pruitt has to prove that he's capable of handling everything that comes with that job. That's the same reason why we continue to ask questions about Derek Mason. You know, he didn't prove that in year one. There were major questions about that in year one. Pruitt can't have the same questions.
Well, and if they, you know, it, to me, 6 wins, I keep throwing out the number of wins does matter to me. But I look at 6 wins because Tennessee, even they were 4-8 a year ago, but they were really close to 6 wins. If Brandon Johnson catches the pass in the end zone on the last play, they beat South Carolina at home. You know, they are that catch away. I mean, it's in his hands. It's a tough catch, but if he makes it, they win. Kentucky was right there. Plenty of chances to win at Kentucky. I mean, that they lose a close one there. I mean, there were chances there to get to 6. So if you think that Jeremy Pruitt is a good enough football coach to improve this team just marginally from last year and do the little things better, I think that could be enough to get them to 6 wins.
He needs to lay the foundation. He needs to lay down the culture, and then the process of building the program back to what many think it can be will actually get on path of going to that destination.
I've got one small adaptability indicator to me. And maybe you guys will think this is ridiculous. I know some listeners will. Chad, during SEC Media Days, he really had cleaned up the Ike.
Yeah, he didn't say it at all.
To me, there's a guy who adapted in a thing that is not his thing. Probably doesn't really care how he sounds to the media, but he got good coaching and he took it and he changed the habit. All right, he's a good football coach, presumably. He's been a good coordinator at the very least. All right, so if he's doing it, that's a small encouraging sign to me. If he made a change in an area that he doesn't care about that much, they probably didn't think he's that important, that somebody talked to him about and he gave it some credence and he made that change. That shows me at a stage where not a lot's going on, some small indicator of adaptability that I hope tells us something about his ability to adapt in bigger situations, to bigger things, to football things.
I think that's fair. I noticed that he looked like a guy who, in the time between his introductory press conference to his next big media outing, got better at handling questions and talking with the media. And maybe that was nothing. Him someone. And let's say, you know, people say, well, he was clearly coached up on his response to what Aaron What's Murray said him? About him. Great.
Coached well.
If he's willing to take coaching from Zach Stipe or whoever's working at Tennessee with him, great. That's what he should be doing.
He's well coached. He didn't look like a guy who was doing a hostage take.
Yeah, no. I think the key to the season number one, though, you know, we've talked all offseason about, you know, Pruitt's a football coach. That's what they need. They need a football coach. What Tennessee actually needs is a head coach. He has to prove he can be a head coach. There are a lot of good football coaches that are not good head coaches.
Well, and here's just some things. These are broad things, but things I really want to see this year. I want to see competence from the team, and I want to see guys going in the same direction. The biggest thing you hear from NFL scouts or anyone talking about Tennessee teams under Butch Jones, a couple things. One, their practices were crap. Gary Danielson said this. Their practices were embarrassing, and Philip Fulmer knew that, being at practice. He was embarrassed to go watch them practice. Gary Danielson said this. They were soft. Quite frankly, those guys were soft. When the going got tough, they disappeared. And they all started trying to make highlight plays on their own. And they didn't pull in the same direction. I want to see some tangible evidence that this is a team that's together and on the field pulling in the same direction and knows how to try hard. I don't think that was always the case. I don't think they're complete dogs out there. They're not Gary Sanchez running around. But I do think that they lacked a basic understanding of what it really was. I'm going to steal a Nick Saban, Jeremy Pruitt term here, to strain. Jeremy Pruitt's talking about they need to learn how to strain. He brought Eli Wolf to SEC Media Days because he was a 230-pound tight end, and over the course of the spring and summer, he learned how to strain. He said he learned how to block and strain. That's why I want him as the example of learning how we're going to compete in this program. I want to see tangible proof of that over the course of games. That could be losing by 21 in the third or fourth quarter and continuing to fight and get extra yards and make plays. Just little things like that, I think, is going to be key. And that kind of goes back to the how do you lose, Hutton, right? Don't get blown out and look like you quit.
What's not
how
even
do you
get,
lose some of these games?
But it's not just about the score. It's about how he manages games as the head coach.
I agree with that.
Play calls on the goal line,
well,
or clock management, or situationally knowing when to take a quarterback out of the game. Those things are things that we pointed to and criticized Mason for and Butch Jones for. Those are things that should be commonplace if you're a head coach in the SEC. Those are things that you learn by coaching in the Sun Belt first.
Yeah, and those are things, honestly, that I'm expecting some learning curve. There's going to be some mistakes there at times.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Phone lines available, two available. 615-737-1045. Our number, Wes, will lead us off. What's up, Wes?
Hey, guys. Hey, real quick, before we get into UT, you guys were talking about Netflix and TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, one of my all-time favorite Midday 180 segments was Breaking Down, Breaking Bad. I mean, that was a great way to start out Monday. If you're having a rough day, we could always look forward to that.
Wes, that proves you are a season ticket holder of the Midday 180.
Absolutely.
Right there. That's going
nice
back years.
Back.
That I am, fellas. And look, hey, I would highly recommend you guys get into Better Call Saul, the prequel series to that.
We're
Are
totally
you guys
into
watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Has it restarted?
It starts again August 5th or 6th here in a couple
and
weeks.
And they're about to have some scenes from the Breaking Bad era,
we're gonna
right?
We're going to intersect with the Walter White era. And before I segue into UT, I got a great segue. One of the actresses on Better Call Saul who played Betsy Kettleman, big UT fan, grew up in Crossville, Tennessee.
Really?
I was listening to you guys talking. Chad, I think you're a little bit off. I tend to agree more with Hutton and Paul. I think the win total, and as I, you know, check Twitter out of my, you know, I grew up in Knoxville, graduated from there. Most people are expecting like a 4-8 or a 5-7. To me, the key is 5-7 because you have to get back to beating the bottom dwellers of the league, which are Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I think as Jonathan said, in how you lose. I think if Tyson Helton can show some progression, if Garantano's the starter, kind of like what we saw with Lane Kiffin and Crompton, if we see better clock management, better overall coaching, then I think Tennessee fans are going to stand by this guy.
Yeah, I think, 5-7 is an interesting discussion to have because if you're 5-7, and someone brought this up on Twitter, in 2013, Butch Jones went 5-7 and landed a top three class nationally. And he had got everyone rallying behind that recruiting class. It's Jeremy Pruitt's job to hold the recruiting class together regardless of what happens on the field this year. It's going to be infinitely tougher to hold on to guys like Wanya Morris, who's the number one offensive tackle in the country, if they go 5-7. That's my point. These guys want to see success. I don't know that you can properly sell 5-7 to a kid from Grayson High School in Georgia that Tennessee is headed in the right direction if that's the case. Maybe I'm wrong. Coaches have done it before, and they've had less to work with. It can happen for sure. But no one's expecting 4-8. He said they're expecting 4-8 and 5-7. 4-8 would mean you beat UTEP, ETSU, and Charlotte, and one of Kentucky, Vandy, Missouri, South Carolina, Florida. I think people, 5-7 is fair. 5-7 is fair by Vegas standards. But then it kind of gets back to how do you look when you're losing some of those games? I just think that it is important to get to a bowl game this year because you can sell absolute, not just progress in how you look, you're selling progress in wins and losses if you do that, legitimate progress. And to me, that's important for Jeremy Pruitt in year one.
Catfish Jake is next. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. I've said this for a while now to a lot of my UT fans. I hate UT. Have for a long time, and I always thought I wanted them to be so bad that nobody cared, but I want them to be good again because I want the third week in October to mean something again. But they are eerily similar to Alabama right now and how we were for years. People have completely forgotten about when we sucked. Couldn't keep a coach, couldn't get a good coach. And the similarity I see, and to agree with you, Hutton, Saban's first year, like y'all said, he lost to Louisiana Monroe. That was awful. But their six losses, they lost in overtime to Georgia, and they lost by seven to Florida State. They didn't lose by more than 7 points to anybody. So as a fan base, we knew they weren't very good. They're still idiotic Alabama fans whose expectations are way too high, but you could still see that they were in every game. They had a chance in every game. And Pruitt and trying do the same thing.
Trying to take the lateral comparison here with what that season versus the upcoming year that they're going into, Alabama also wanted Rich Rodriguez first. And they ended up with Nick Saban.
Yeah, it was their.
That's exactly right.
And Tennessee wanted another coach and another coach and another coach before they ended up with Pruitt.
But also, Tennessee didn't fall backwards into a coach and won a national title.
No, they didn't.
The way Alabama.
They didn't. But they they also ended up with the coach that people are behind.
Yeah.
And also, I think Pruitt can keep them close like Saban did because Pruitt is a defensive guru. If nothing else, he can keep people, limited people from how much they can score them, so he can keep games closed so that they can make a special teams play or something and stay in them or mess around and win one of those games. But I think they're in a similar spot. And if given a little bit of time, I don't know if Pruitt will be safe, and I don't know if anybody ever will be, but I think he's got a good shot to be really good there if he gets a good offensive coordinator.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
You know, it's I heard Phil Savage today talking about this on Wake Up Zone. And, of course, he knows Jeremy Pruitt well from his time in Alabama. And he said he is – so respected in football circles. You talk to football coaches, and they really respect Jeremy Pruitt's football acumen. He is a football coach. He is a great defensive mind. There's no doubting his ability to communicate with players, especially players of that generation, and to communicate with high school kids. But he acknowledged it's also different when you become a head coach and the things you have to deal with that has nothing to do with football. But as Phil Savage said, and I believe this, part of the sales pitch with Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt, and the reason Jeremy Pruitt really wanted this job, was because Philip Fulmer can handle a lot of that for him. Philip Fulmer can go do the fundraising. He can go handle some of these things on the side and just allow that frees up Jeremy Pruitt to worry about the football team and to worry about his football players. And that's ultimately what Jeremy Pruitt does. Jeremy Pruitt isn't the type. I truly believe this. He would have had opportunities at other jobs. There are only a handful of jobs he would have taken to move from Alabama. I think he was content playing, you know, coaching under Nick Saban, staying in his alma mater, continuing to do that, maybe one day being the next head coach at Alabama if he continued on that path. I think there were just a few jobs in the SEC he would have left for, and Tennessee was one of them. And I think part of that is because of Philip Fulmer also. I think that was a big selling point for him.
Who is less prepared to handle what could likely be a 2-6 start to the season, Pruitt or the fan base?
Always the fan base.
I think that's an excellent question.
We don't know. I mean, I don't know how Pruitt's going to handle a 2-6 start, but that's what I think they're headed to.
I think he knows it's, you know.
That's going to be a crossroads right there.
Horizon is a ways off.
Because we're talking about 4-8 and 5-7 that Wes brought up. If you start out 2-6, you have to be able to right the ship and know how to adjust right at that midpoint of the season after you go through the gauntlet of Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina.
When they get to November, it's Charlotte, Kentucky, and Missouri at home and at Vanderbilt. That's the close of their season. So it's conceivable they could go 2-6 and then go to a bowl game and get to 6-6. That could happen. I think it's a great question, Hud, because honestly, we talked about this with the spring game. This fan base is accustomed to failure. They're accustomed to bad things. I don't know they're going to be shocked with 2-6. Again, I mean, we heard from Wes. He said, I think people are expecting 4-8. Well, if you're expecting 4-8, then 2-6 is going to be no shock to you. Jeremy Pruitt's the one who got to Tennessee and started looking around and saying, what is wrong with some of these people? Why did we not fill up the stadium for the spring game? Because he's stepping into a situation from a situation where there's nothing but success, right? Nothing but good times.
Oh, let's take that a
nothing
step further.
Nothing but wins.
If they start 2-6, the last, let me look at my notes here. The last 4 seasons, he's been a part of 7 total losses. He's been a part of 8 losses in the last 5 seasons as an assistant coach.
But look, he knows things are different now.
Yeah, he does.
He's not walking.
Well, okay, let's turn that.
But he still has to handle it. He's never had to handle that.
Let's turn this around. It's not just who's going to be the most shocked or feel the worst about 2-6. It's how can Jeremy Pruitt handle that with a lot of season left to play and spin that to his guys.
But that's part of being the head coach instead of the assistant.
In a way that's constructive, right? You can't you can't pit. When you're the defensive coordinator, you can say, we're going to go out there and we're going to crush the offense this week. in practice. We are going to dominate. We're going to do our job. We do this. When you're handling the entire team, you have to come together and both inform them that, hey, 2-6 is no longer acceptable here. We're going to get better and start winning some games without completely crushing the soul of your team. So how do you hold on to that balance of this is bad, it's not acceptable, but it's also not the end of the world?
I'll tell you one guy who thinks he can handle it, Phil Fulmer. Because he had to be realistic about what they're going to be coming off of last year, right?
Yeah,
and he knows that that's a factor in what's coming up. And I'm sure somewhere in this he asked himself as he talked to guys, how's this guy going to be if he's 2-7 along the way? How's he going to be if he's, you know, struggling?
Well, I think Fulmer plays a big role in all of this, as Paul's getting into there. And Chad, as you mentioned, Fulmer being able to handle certain outside factors that go along with being the head coach at Tennessee or being the head coach in the SEC. But I think there's a question worth asking about what the Pruitt era signifies if it doesn't work. You know, we're the fan base, Chad, they're behind this because Fulmer's behind it. What if this doesn't work out as planned?
Then fold up the football program.
Well, I mean, maybe that's too negative of a slant, but I think it's worth discussing.
Yeah.
Because of what it signifies moving forward for this program, where they are over the last decade, and what Fulmer and Pruitt combined are supposed to bring back.